Such a blessing to be in the house of the Lord, isn't it? And who brought you here today? Who prompted you to come here today? And it's tying into the lesson or even to the theme that we have for this month. It's spirit leading. And we have promise. The Great Commission says that He will be with us to the end of ages. And the reason why Jesus left and went to heaven, but He said, you can't go where I will be sending you unless I will give you the Comforter. So let's have a word of prayer. Father God in heaven, such an inspiring promise that you left to your disciple as well as your children at this moment, that as we seek your Holy Spirit through the reading of your word, to the study of your word, may they become alive in the way how we will be receptive. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So our body, people, are made up of a body, a mind, and a spirit. When we become Christian, our spirits are made new in God, isn't it? When we take Christ, as we receive Christ as our personal Savior, we become a new creation, living by the Holy Spirit. Jesus tells us in John chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. The Bible reads, Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Verse 6 reads, flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to the Spirit. Amen? We receive the Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit of God that lives inside of us. That's why he prompted you again here. He guides you. He protects you. He comforts you. The Holy Spirit is a person, the Spirit of God. He is not an impersonal influence or a cosmic power. He is not the force in the Star Wars. He is a person not like you and me, but with an intellect. Will and sensitivity. The Holy Spirit fills our life to the degree that we allow Him to. He is a gentleman and will only fill us to the amount we allow Him. When we are baptized with the Holy Spirit, we are consciously yielding ourselves to God and we receive a greater amount of the Spirit's empowering. God gives the Holy Spirit to whoever asks the Father. Have you ever given gift to your children? Many of us have done that. But also a recipient of a gift, isn't it? But look at what Luke 11:13 reads. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gift to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask of him? The Holy Spirit lives in every believer and helps them live their Christian lives. The Holy Spirit also controls the church. That's why we've been praying and praying for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in our church. Isn't it, brothers and sisters? But until we all come to be united in one, as the apostles did that at the Pentecost, if we are divided, there's no way the Holy Spirit will pour His love in us. But we may be few, but with a contrite heart. We may be few with longing for soon appearing of Christ, isn't it? The church did not start until the Holy Spirit was poured out at the Pentecost. We are still in the time of Pentecost. We are still in the time of Pentecost. It's still longing and longing for the outpouring of the latter rain. The church is God's family and the body of Christ on earth. When we submit to the Holy Spirit, God moves His body. Today, the Holy Spirit continues to cleanse, guide, and teach His church. God is faithful. He is committed to using us. He wants to use us, but sometimes we are so stubborn, so careless, and He has to wait. I read that in 2 Peter, He is not slow and slackness in promise, but He longs for us that no one to perish, but come to repentance. That's why Jesus is not coming yet, because many that He died for, many that He not receive Him yet. I kind of shared earlier that when Jesus come, He said every eyes will see Him, even especially those who pierced Him. And I kind of share in our lesson study today that is it only the literal piercing of that soldier when he pierced Jesus at the cross? No, brothers and sisters. We also piercing Him when we mock Him, when we disown Him, when we do not receive Him as our personal Savior. We pierce Him also in that moment. But He said, every eyes will see Him. There's going to be a resurrection. There will be, like I said earlier in our study, there's going to be two resurrections. Resurrection of the saves of eternal life. And the resurrection that's part of the piercing, that eyes, every eyes will see Him, the resurrection of condemnation. But the difference, but the distance between the two of resurrection will be 1,000 years. Today, the Holy Spirit continued to, like I said earlier, to cleanse us, guide, and teach His church. God is faithful. He is committed to using us, like I said earlier. But because of our carelessness and stubbornness, but I have confidence that God will continue to perfect you and me and His church body. The Bible says the Holy Spirit is perfecting the church as though preparing a bride for her wedding. Look at how a bride, when they prepare her for that time that they will meet the groom together. Isn't that wonderful events? And the same thing, He is grooming us. The Holy Spirit is grooming us as His bride. When we are ready, Jesus will return. That's what He's waiting for. When we are ready, Jesus will return. Therefore, we understand it, how important it is to be led by the Holy Spirit. That's why we seek Him daily and daily out in our breath. Because when the creation of man, when He formed a man from the dust, He breathed the breath of life to become a living soul. It is His word become alive into ourselves. It is His our daily devotion, that we can live a life, that we can learn to be gratitude of the life given to that day, to that. Brothers and sisters, tomorrow is not promised to us, but by the blessing of the Holy Spirit, no matter what happened into our life, if we are going to be connected with the Holy Spirit and God, along with Jesus, who died on the cross, we can certainly will be the first one to, when Jesus comes in the clouds of heaven, when he says, "Awake!" The dead in Christ will rise first. As we learn how to allow the Holy Spirit to lead us more and more, the church will see the power of God manifested accordingly. Our text that was read in Romans 8:14, look at how he calls us also. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons and daughters of God. In the NIV, it said, children of God. In the NKJ, in the New King James Version, it said, sons and daughters of God. But because of the enemy. That's why in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 and so forth, it said, test all spirits, make sure they are from God. And how are we going to test the spirits of God? How are we going to test them? In prayer, that even in this prayer, prayer and also allowing the Holy Spirit read his book, the gospel, the Holy Word. Because the Word is inspired by God and led by the Holy, as man writes the book, the words, the Holy Spirit led them write. And I believe it was dictating them in their minds and in their heart. As they were writing the word, the Holy Spirit dictating them what to write. Because there's no man intelligence to be able to comprehend to write this book. Yes, man maybe have this knowledge as you look at the technology devices that you may have carrying in your with yourself and in your home. Yes, the Google map that can direct you where you are going to make it easier rather than reading the big paper. It makes it so easy, but there's no intelligence that a man can comprehend to write the wordings into this book. So when it comes to the person of the Holy Spirit, there is often a lot of confusion, misunderstanding, and misinformation. Isn't it, brothers and sisters? That's why he says, test all spirits, make sure they are from God. But we, as believers of Christ, our focus tells us that we who are saved are led by the Holy Spirit of God. Actually, it is the precisely Holy Spirit leadership that affirms this identity both internally and externally. When that inner person is converted, when that inner person is living a life with the Holy Spirit, our external become also a reflection of what that whole of the Holy Spirit living alive in your internal. When the Holy Spirit speaks to our hearts, it is assure us that we are indeed children of God. Imagine, you have your own children, you call them sons and daughters. How do you know that they are listening indeed, they're indeed listening to you? It is how you have that relationship with him or her. And the same way how the Holy Spirit, when we have that relationship with him, we become obedient. When we follow that voice, people take notice and see the spiritual dimensions and depth to our lives. If you are led by the Holy Spirit of God, then you must be a child of God. It will be what there was a reflection. The Word of God is clear that when we are saved, the Holy Spirit comes to abide with us as a comforter or helper. No wonder Paul also writes that, in James, that in all circumstances, praise God. And I said, how could that be, brother? That when I'm falling, when I'm all this and that, I still continue praising God. I said, the Bible said so. Because He will provide comfort in you. He will provide joy in your life. Jesus in John 14, 16 and 18. 16 to 18. Let's turn in that, in John 14, 16 to 18. And even Jesus himself. And that's what we were doing this whole week. It says 16 to 18. Are we all there? Amen. And I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper or comforter, that He may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Amen. So when you are in that downcast, or whenever your plans may not go accordingly, or probably the choices you are making, and it's not coincide with what you are thinking, listen to that fine voice. He will direct you. He will not harm you, but will protect you. The phrase another comforter means one of the same kind. Jesus was leaving them, I'm talking about the apostles, at least bodily as a leader, helper, companion, and in his place, he would send another leader, helper, and companion. And Jesus was with them. The Holy Spirit of God would be with them to help them, encourage them, lead and guide them. Physicality, when Jesus was on earth, he could not be at the same place at the same time. But in our worship hours at this moment, when the Bible says, where two or three gather in my name, I will be in the midst of them. There's a promise that every Christian who are saved, who receive God as their personal Savior, when gathering of praises, when gathering of worship, when gathering in prayer, He promised that He will be in them. Intercessory prayers that will be available, He will be sent to that person that you are praying for. There was a time that someone spoke of blackberries. They had in mind those little black seedy berries that grows on vines. But remember that blackberry that was told at one point, the device, not an electronic device, but blackberries were little handheld wireless electronic miracles that connected us with the world at that point. Right? There are people in this world who believe that they would not live one day without their BlackBerries. Their Android, their iPhone, but how much more? The Holy Spirit is not a device, but a person, presence, and voice who connects us with God. Not only to the world, but who connects us with God. Because the Holy Spirit is God. Friends, this is a reality. That how many of you, even myself, when you forget that device I'm talking about, you even long too late for work that you go back and take your iPhone with you. Isn't it? Am I to outcast at this moment? No. It is very true because I myself fall into that trap. But when time for the Holy Spirit, when time for God, I said, we put that second. I must go on. Earlier, in Romans 8, verse 9, Paul makes it clear that the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit are on the same page. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Look at it. If we are not with the Spirit, if you don't know God, if you don't spend time with him, he said he's not going to be with us. But what does it mean? What does it mean to be led by the Holy Spirit? Sometimes we can not understand really if that Spirit that we're talking about is from God. Perhaps we can gain some insight by looking into the book of Acts. As a matter of fact, brothers and sisters, I think this is going to be for this next quarter. For this next quarter that we're going to be studying more about the book of Acts. It will clarify more of how the work of the Holy Spirit. But at this time, I'm just going to put a little glimpse of what's inside in the book of Acts. And reading about how first century Christians were led. In Acts 8:29, let's go there to Acts 8:29. Amen. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake his chariot. We all know, we have read that story about the conversion of this because this person did not know what he was reading. But he said, go, said the Holy Spirit prompted Philip to go and make clarity of the reading of this man. The Holy Spirit directed Philip to join a chariot in the desert. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself in this chariot. Just before this, in verse 26, it tells us that an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip and instructed him to go to the desert in Gaza. Why? Because there was some transformation that was made, that needed to be made. So he prompted Philip also to go into this journey. After arriving, it was the Holy Spirit who gave Philip more detail and instruction. I just want to share, because the sharing also what Brother Dominic was talking about, praises and this, how the Holy Spirit. Coming to California back in early 78, coming from Hawaii. Back then, I didn't know too much about, I was born in the faith. But I never had really have this, spend much time listening of this fine voice, listening of this. Yes, I did know Jesus loves me, this I know. I did go to church. My wife and I married also within the faith. But needless to say, there were no plans that we were coming to California. But I did come to join, and I did come and to attend my sister-in-law's wedding. Within that week, I stayed here for a week. And for some reason, what made my wife told me, why don't you look for a house there? Why don't you look for a house there? I said, why should I look for a house there? I have you there in Hawaii. I have my job in Hawaii. And why should I look for a house? But anyway, I went ahead and looked around. Nothing had inspired me. Nothing around the homes that I'm looking at, it said, it did not dawn on me. It did not touch my heart. There's no appealing at all. But anyway, I told my in-laws, okay, I'm going home now. Just go ahead and look a house that my wife is seeking. So I went home. As soon as I landed at the airport, my wife came and picked me up. I knew, they said, there's a good news. I said, they found a house, and it's only a few blocks away from mom and dad. And I said, but I have our jobs here. I was working in the biggest sugar industry in the world. But to fast forward, yes, my wife was not working then. I said, go ahead, you go first. But look at the reason why I'm sharing this with you, brothers and sisters, is that when you are saved, when you accept Christ as your personal Savior, sometimes plans in your life make it such, sometimes it's really hard to understand what really leading you in a life that is more pleasant. And I said, but to fast forward, this company, the biggest sugar mill industry in the world, closes. And I'm here, and not only that, I would not be speaking before you. What a blessing of how the Holy Spirit is leading. And not only that, yes, I came. We spent time working hard. I still wasn't going to church. I go to church like here and there. I go to church, go home, and nothing, no connection at all. I was busy working. But look again how the Holy Spirit is leading. There was a retired pastor living with us. Same faith. And he says, son, I would like to speak to you. Again, that fine voice. Son, I would like to speak to you. I said, yes. I sat down and listened to him. Son, come home. Your children need you. And I said, I go to work, come home, I'm with my children. But I didn't really understand the meaning of coming home. And so he left it that way. But as time went on, as years went on, I started to find understanding of coming home to nurture, to take care, to bring up my children in the fear of the Lord. So, that's the life that my wife and God and I have gone through. In a way, how to be led by the Holy Spirit. In Acts 10:19-20, I must go on. The Holy Spirit spoke to Peter and instructed him to go with three men without hesitation because he had led them to Peter for the purpose of connecting with Cornelius. While Peter, though under vision, the Spirit said unto him, Behold, three men seek thee. And verse 20, he said, Arise therefore and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Just before this, Peter was given an unusual vision of dreams that troubled him. In his vision, the Lord spoke to Peter and prepared him for encounter that followed. The voice of the Holy Spirit picked up where the vision left off. I believe in that area, it's speaking about how he has to live a life to be a servant of God. In Acts 16, 6 and 7, it said the Holy Spirit directed Paul to take the message of the gospel to Macedonia. Paul, though first to go to Asia, the Holy Spirit said no. Then Paul desired or purposed to go to Bithynia. Again, the Holy Spirit said no. Verse 6 reads, Now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Spirit, goes the priest of to preach the word in Asia. Verse 7, after they were come to Mysia, they assailed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. The voice of the Holy Spirit was clear about where Paul was sent to go. But what about some directions as to where he could go? Paul kept moving and no doubt praying for directions. Verse 9 tells us that one night Paul had a vision or dreams in which he saw a man from Macedonia crying out to him to come over and help them by preaching the gospel to them. Paul had his answer. This verse seems to indicate that the Holy Spirit spoke to Philip, Peter, and Paul. As I am speaking to you now, I am audible. Wait, perhaps so, perhaps not. The Holy Spirit could have communicated to them in their thoughts. One thing is sure, the Holy Spirit led this man in very clear, specific way. They knew exactly what God wanted to do. Yes, brothers and sisters, sometimes, like I said earlier, that maybe our plans, maybe our ways, maybe our thoughts, maybe our goings. And sometimes we may ask questions to Christ. Why it's about me? Why it's me? But listening to that fine voice, reading his word daily in, daily out, you will find a way of how the Holy Spirit leading you. In Acts 15:28, we see a very different dynamic of Holy Spirit leadership. In this chapter, what is often called the Jerusalem Council came together to resolve the issue concerning Gentiles converts. There were many Jewish church leaders who essentially wanted Gentiles to become Jews, even be circumcised, to be considered Christians. There was heated debate and prayer involved, but in the end, they reached a conclusion and judgment. Verse 28 summarizes all their debates and final conclusions as being directed by the Holy Spirit. For it seems good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. Verse 29, that ye may abstain from meats offered to idols and from bloods and from things strangled and from fornication, from which, if you keep yourself, you shall do well. Fare you well. Leadership of the Holy Spirit here seems to be working behind the scenes, revealing truth to everyone as they were praying, arguing, pleading, reasoning with each other by the scriptures. The Holy Spirit spoke as they were involved in the process of seeking an answer. It was the Holy Spirit who moved everyone's heart and mind, placing them on the same page and lead them to the same conclusion. Yes, brothers and sisters, in our board meeting at some point, we may disagree. We may have not the our inputs may not be the same as we wanted to, but leading one mind, one set of mind, through the leading of the Holy Spirit. That's what makes us a body of Christ. It was the same earlier in Acts 13 as the church located in Antioch prayerfully, corporately sought the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Acts 13, 2 and 3 reads, "As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, 'Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them.'" Verse 3, "And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away." Yes, fasting is one way to let yourself soak into the Holy Spirit. That when you fast, what do you? You go hungry, but you get strength. If you seek the Holy Spirit, He will fill you with strength. He will fill you with strength. He will fill you with not with encouragement. He will fill you with such an area of a mind leading to victory. How does the Holy Spirit lead us? It is obvious that He can lead us in various ways. The important thing is for us to seek His leadership and listen with the intent to obey. I like that word. We listen, but the intention is to obey. We can listen, but not. We can listen and just go on our own way. It doesn't work that way. Our intention must be in one with the Holy Spirit. The important thing is for us to seek His leadership and listen with the intent to obey. See? Before the Holy Spirit can lead us, we must get ourselves in a neutral position to go or to stay, to speak or to be quiet, to purchase or to save, to lead or to follow, to contest or to submit. Those are the works of the Holy Spirit. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 10, we find that John the Revelator, who was exiled on the Isles of Patmos, was in the Spirit of the Lord's day. You might say that John was in the zone. The Roman government under Emperor Domitian was able to exile John, but they could not place a ban on the Holy Spirit. How often do we deliberately try to be in the Spirit? The leadership of the Holy Spirit is internal. As the children of God, the Holy Spirit is an audible voice inside of us who gives a peace of or withholds peace, give us liberty or hold us back. The Apostle Paul wanted to go on one direction, but the Holy Spirit would not give him liberty, peace, or rest. The voice of the Holy Spirit sometimes speaks to us through our thoughts. Philip was told specifically to join the chariot. Peter was told specifically to go with those three men. How incredible it is to know and understand that wherever we are as the children of God, we have this divine helper inside us. We are truly never alone. Jesus said in John 14, verse 18, "I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." The word comfortless is the Greek is orphanos, from which we get the English word orphan. God, the Holy Spirit, is with us, seeking to lead and guide us. How? Five ways the Holy Spirit lead us. Number one, the Holy Spirit lead us through our prayer life. As Jesus was prayerfully, wasn't He? He's divine. He's Jesus. He's God. But yet He prayed. But how much more we are sinners, weak, easy to get angry, easy to be detested. The church in Antioch prayed and fasted together. seeking God's intervention and direction. Prayers have a way of changing our hearts and preparing our hearts to hear God's voice. If you want to hear God's voice, if you want to see vision, dreams, the Holy Spirit, through prayers, will lead you. Our prayer can solicit the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Number two, the Holy Spirit lead us through our time in the Scripture. Why? Because it is what? Sharper, it's alive and active, sharper than the two-edged sword. It's alive and active. And not only that, it is our, what is that word? The word is a light unto your feet and a lamp unto my path. Oh, wow, wow. Why? Are we in darkness? This world is in darkness, brothers and sisters. The Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Truth. Sanctify them by your word. Your word is truth. The Bible was inspired by the Holy Spirit. As I said earlier, as man was writing the word, it was through the Holy Spirit was writing them. 2 Peter chapter 1, 21 says, for the prophecy, that's what I was talking about. For the prophecy came not in the old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit speaks to us as we prayerfully, openly, thoughtfully read the Bible. A lot of people says, I do not understand the Bible. It's boring, especially when you are in the genealogy of begots this, begot that, and so forth and so forth. Yeah, there can be. But you need to know where you came from, brothers and sisters, isn't it? And that should be a will awaken that you are not evolved, but you came from a hair of Abraham. Hair of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. John 16:13 says, how be it when he, the Spirit of Truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. The Bible is a living book. He will show you to come. As we are preparing for the end times, my brothers and sisters, Jesus, he doesn't want anyone to perish. But how can we be prepared if we put our book under our mattresses and living and allowing the dust to cover it to a point that you won't even be able to distinguish whether it was a Bible because it's full of dust? Number three, the Holy Spirit led us through teaching and preaching. Why? Because that's our great commission, isn't it? How are you going to be able to preach and teach and tell the good news of salvation if you don't spend time in His holy word? Will they believe you? If they question you, you won't even know the answer. What did Jesus say when he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights? What did he say when Satan tempted him? He said, it is written. Where? In the book of life. In this book. And do we say that also when people try to contradict what we're saying? In Acts 10, when Peter arrived at the house of Cornelius and preached the gospel, the Holy Spirit dealt with their heart as he had the Jews. Acts 10:44 says, while Peter yet spoke these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word, Reading the Word of God is one thing. Reading the Word of God is one thing, but hearing and taught and preached is another. You're making it alive. You become a reflection. You become a blessing to those that you may encounter with. Sometimes the Holy Spirit tells us things that are not even directly in the Bible lesson or sermon we are hearing. Sometimes a lesson or sermon confirms what the Holy Spirit has previously said. God speaks to the heart of His people by way of Holy Spirit through the dynamic and teaching and preaching His Word. The Holy Spirit leads us through the voice of people. Proverbs 11:14 says, "Where no counsel is, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors there is safety." God has placed wise, proven, godly believers in our lives to help us discern God's voice. We are foolish to ignore the wisdom that can be gained by those in our lives who are spiritually matured and proven. While the most godly individuals cannot tell us specifically what to do, God's Holy Spirit can use their voices to speak to our hearts and mind. As I said earlier, that pastor that were telling me, come home. I did come home. And I'm so happy that God can use us, my wife and myself, in how we can be, I may not be the greatest preacher, I may need the greatest preacher, but I can tell also the good news of salvation. But listen to this. Number 5, the Holy Spirit leads us through circumstances, situations, and experience. I want to tell you how the Holy Spirit sometimes works in a testimony that my wife had. When we have a vesper at the house, that was three Sabbaths ago, including today, my wife was asking one of the people that helped us in taking care of the job that she's doing. And she asked this person, "Do you know where this salad bowl is? Do you happen to see where the salad bowl that we had?" And she said, "I don't want to use this. Do you know where is it at?" But this person said, "No, I don't." But few seconds later, someone knocked at the front door and happened to be that our neighbors coming over with the same request that my wife has. "Do you have a salad bowl?" And she came with that same bowl. "I have this bowl that my daughter have and I don't need it. Do you have a use for it?" And I said, "Wow." So, the Holy Spirit leads us through circumstances, situations, and experiences. My wife had experiences how the leading of the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit prompted our neighbor to give this salad bowl. It's just a minor, it can be the smallest thing that happened, but that's how the Holy Spirit, brothers and sisters. Yesterday, I have also a testimony. I taken a job in Hollister. You know where Hollister is? And happened to be in Hollister, whose house is that? Brother Lotto. And it's his bathroom, and this bathroom is adjoined a shower stall and a big, I call it a jacuzzi. So it's huge. It's almost 10 feet wide. So it takes a specific preparation to prepare before tiling and so forth. So I called this person, happened to be that I had encountered with him years ago, but I I came to find out that now he's holding his own business. So I called him. He said, I'd be more than willing to help you. So we went. So Thursday, I phoned him. I gave him the address. And I called him early Friday morning, yesterday morning. Have you received the directions? He said, yes, I do. I'm going now. I said, okay, I'm coming also. So I drove, went ahead. And I got there at about 8:30. So I was preparing all the, I opened the house, I prepared our walkways, put tarps and so forth. And then also my helper came by, came along, with, I mean the one that's helping me. But this, there was a burgundy truck pulling in, brand new, and there was also another white van coming. What is so amazing? God will listen to your longing for in any circumstances. And happened to be that this person that came along with him, he did all the tiling work at our house in Milpitas. He did the tiling, the house that we have in Cupertino. This man is amazing when it comes to tiling. So he will be helping me. He will be doing all the tile work. So brothers and sisters, God finds ways. You listen, you pray, and seek his guidance, he will prevail. When Peter arrived at the house, let me continue. When Peter arrived at the house of Cornelius, and saw these Gentiles gathered together for the purpose of hearing the gospel, it moved him and opened his heart and mind to the truth spoken by the Holy Spirit. Acts 10, 34 and 35 says, then Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality. No, he doesn't show partiality. There's no favoritism. He loves all of us, but we must surrender ourselves. Verse 35, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is expected by him. To be led by the Holy Spirit is one of the great privileges of being a Christian. We must make sure that we hear his voice correctly by filtering which was read, which in verse 1 John 4, 1 and so forth, that tests all spirits, make sure they are from God. We must make sure that we hear his voice correctly, and we grow in genuine biblical spirituality. We develop the ability to discern the voice of God's Holy Spirit. We can be sure of several things when trying the spirits of or voices around within us. Three ways to put voices to test. The voice of the Holy Spirit will be consistent with the message of God's Holy Word. Don't we just be listeners? We must be active in our reading. The Holy Spirit will not lead contrary to the Word of God. See that? By reading, hearing, application, Holy Spirit will become alive. The voice of the Holy Spirit will consistent with his fruit, with his love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. You reflect on those fruit of the Holy Spirit. The voice of the Holy Spirit will be consistent with the character of Jesus Christ. Jesus is known for his spirit of love, humility, meekness, service, obedience, submission, and forgiveness. Speaking of forgiveness, who have you forgiven this week? Someone said, a Christian may not always be conscious of the Holy Spirit's presence, but he would not even be a Christian in his absence. We must seek to be Romans 8:14, where it said, sons and daughters of God, by cultivating lives that are constantly aware and sensitive to the leading of God's Holy Spirit. In closing, what is the Holy Spirit saying to you today? How is He leading you today? Wherefore, in Hebrews 7:3-8, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost said, today, if you will hear His voice, verse 8, harden not your heart. Harden not your heart. Open your heart and hear the fine voice of God through the prompting of the Holy Spirit. God bless you all. So please stand as we sing our closing song.